Company of One, episode number 67.
Welcome to the Company of One podcast featuring Dale Callahan, dedicated to helping you find freedom in life and with your career. Learn how to not only increase your income, but take control of the income you acquire. Let's ignite that inner entrepreneur in you. Now, welcoming your host, Dale Callahan.
Today, we're going to talk about how to be happy at work. Yeah, for all those people that are miserable at their job. Have you ever been miserable? Maybe some of you are miserable right now. I know I have been totally miserable at a job. Totally hated Mondays showing up. Actually, fairly quickly out of school, I got to that position too, coming out of engineering school and ended up in a job I hated. So today I want to talk about some things about how you can kind of get control. If that's you, if you hate your job, or maybe you don't hate your job, but you're just, you know, finding that there's a lack of fulfillment where you are in your job, then, you know, what can you do? What can you do to make things better? Today, this is brought to you by the product Networking for Introverts, the video course that just gotten finished, and you can find a link to that at DaleCallahan.com. The product, I've actually gotten some interesting feedback from this and some other people telling me that, hey, we'd like to connect, and we're doing research on introverts, which is kind of weird when you get that email. This is some people at other universities contacting me and saying they're checking this out. Actually, a couple of different universities that are talking about things like this. And I don't know if it's a part of university matter or part of HR or what it is. But, you know, this is a very important issue for a lot of companies, especially companies who have a lot of technology people or finance people or CPA-ish, you know, people that tend to be introverted. Trying to get those people to network, to connect, even inside the company. It's critical for your company growth, for your employee growth. You know, networking is not just about me going out and shaking hands and making deals and things like that. You know, and it can be about those kind of things, but it's a lot about connecting with other people, understanding what the needs of the customers are, and just connecting. That's the key word, is connecting, because, you know, we're people. We need to connect. And if you're sitting there, heads down, looking at a computer screen, playing in Excel, playing with code, and you really rather not connect, then you're missing out on not just relationships, that's the soft and fuzzy of it, but you're missing out on dollars. You're missing out on opportunities. You're missing out on influence. And you're missing out on that not only for you personally, but you're also missing out on it for your company. So if I'm your boss, I want to kick you in the butt and teach you how to network. Because every time that you're sitting there, not showing up at some event, not learning, not connecting, you're losing me money. And I'm dead serious about that. You're losing me money. So many opportunities that I have gotten is when people on our team have come back and they've networked and they've learned new stuff, they've made connections, they've made partnerships or partnership possibilities. Just awesome. Awesome. So networking for introverts is a great tool to help get you started. It's very detailed. I mean, if you really are that introvert and you're kind of freaked out about networking, this really will walk you through the baby steps, if you will, to get started, to borrow a What About Bob analogy, or maybe a Dave Ramsey analogy, but my wife and I were watching the What About Bob movie the other day. If you haven't seen it, then watch it. You'll know what baby steps are. So today let's talk about the question I'm so often asked. Not. People don't ever ask me, hey, how can I be happy at work? What people say is, I hate my job. How do I get out? And it's kind of unlike us to turn back around and say, wait a minute. It may not be the job. It may not be the people. It may not be the company, it may not be the industry, or it may be one or two of those things, but it's not all of it. You know, as I left out of Bell South, I realized it wasn't the company, it wasn't the people. There were some real jerks there, but it wasn't that. It wasn't really the industry. A lot of what caused me grief, and some of that I got out of even while I was still there, was me. So let's talk about how to be happy at work, even if you hate your job. So it begins with starting now. Starting right now. If you're listening to this podcast on your way into work, start now. If you're listening to it on your way back from work, start now. Start now. If you're running, if you're biking or walking or whatever you're doing, start now. First, you make a choice. You make a choice. And if you look at what psychologists write about contentment, happiness, whatever, you know, I don't know if happiness is the right word, but it's a lot of it is making a choice. A lot of it is making a choice to enjoy what you have. Make a choice to be happy. Be conscious that you have control. You know, we always use that term, he made me so mad. Well, not really. Not really. If you're in a meeting and your boss just chews you out, he didn't make you mad. He doesn't have that power over you. If the And this is the one I love, you know, is people will be steaming about it for hours later. Some guy drove or girl drove in front of them, ran them off the road, whatever, you know, a near miss on the highway. And you're mad and you're steaming about it for hours later. Really? Does that person who's long since forgotten that incident have that much control over you? You know, that's one of the most freeing things in the world when we realize nobody else controls our emotions but us. Nobody can control. And when you give me control of your emotions, man, have you given me power. Give it to me. Give me power. Don't give it to anybody else. Don't give it to me. Don't even give it to your spouse to give you power. To give them power over how you feel. I mean, it's okay to have empathy and have sympathy, and it's okay to be aggravated, and it's okay to have those things, but to give people control over your emotions totally, and then especially when I even don't even worry about the people, the situation, it's not the people, it's the company. The company, guess what, is nothing but a bunch of people. It's the organization. It's the industry. It's the government. It's the president. It's the Congress. All these things, you know, can all those things be aggravating? Absolutely. Can they all be positive? I hope. There's some of them I have some doubts about, but I hope, you know, that those things can be positive. But they don't control your emotions. You have to make a choice. When you make the choice, the amazing things happen. You say, well, Dale, that's a bunch of lip service. No, it's not. When you make the conscious choice, things start to happen. It's a bit of a fight to make the choice. But making a choice to be happy helps your brain to start to take control of your day. You start looking for things to be happy about. You start laughing about some of the ridiculous things. You start to take control. And it starts with a choice. So that's the first thing. And I think the most critical thing right there to do is just take a choice. Now, I remember when I worked for Bell South, when I was having a Prozac moment every moment. And I hated Monday. I was depressed. I was anxious. I had all these symptoms of all those things. I made a choice. And I decided to do some things. And we'll talk about some more of that. So, you know, one of the things is to look at who you are serving. And this is something I did when I was at Bell South. You know, once you've made the choice, figure out who is it when I show up that I'm serving. Because, you know, a lot of the things that aggravate you really don't have anything to do with you. They're gossip. There are things that you're worried about. Why did Bob get put on this committee and I didn't? Why is Sue getting a promotion and I'm not? And we don't even know that some of those rumors are even true. And we don't know the background information. We get all hyped up about all kinds of stupid garbage. So focus instead on who are you serving. What do you do to help your boss or your coworker or others? When you show up, who are you helping? If you don't show up, who gets hurt? Figure out who you serve. And most likely, if you're in most typical situations, it's a lot of different people. And we're not talking about your company's customers. And you serve them too. But I mean, who directly are you serving as you're going to work every day? And it's best to get a name of each person. In our graduate program, we do this exercise where they write down the name and position of each person they serve. It's your customers, people. If you can't think of who you serve, then you need to ask yourself, if I did not do anything for a week, who would be impacted? That's who you're serving. Now, then you're also asking, how will they be impacted? But that's, you know, so you get to who you're serving. So once you get that, it helps you. Now, why is that important? It helps you develop a clear picture of the lives that you are impacting. If you feel like you're depressed and you're anxious and you're angry, well, these people, they may give you that control over their emotions too. Right? You have control over other people's emotions because they've given it to you. You have to kind of think about, what impact do you want to have? Now, the third thing here to do is go ask. Now that you've identified these people, go talk to them. Even if you hate them, even if, hey, I just can't stand Bob, he just makes me crazy. You know, go talk to them. If you've determined, you know, sending Sally a report of sales weekly was the thing that she gets from you, then go ask her, what does she do with it? How does that help her? Is there anything you should be doing different? Just learn. You're not making promises. You're not making commitments. You're not doing anything. You're not bragging. You're just asking. How does what I do for you help you? Does it help you? Do you just throw it in the trash? Now, if they say that, yeah, I just throw it in the trash. I don't know why you send it to me. Don't get mad. That's one less thing you got to do. Then you want to just learn. This is a very proactive approach. And it generates conversation. It generates a conversation that's very, very important. And you may not realize it when you first begin doing this. And sometimes this will take a couple of days, maybe even a couple of weeks, for this all to settle in. And you realize, and other people realize, hey, Dale really is serious by asking me this question. He's really trying, you know, and I didn't have anything to tell him. I just realized what he can do for me, what helps, and I'm going to go back to Dale and talk to him. You generate this kind of thinking. This is entrepreneurial thinking, by the way. That's identifying your customers and understanding what you do to add value to their lives. That's the two things I just talked about. That's entrepreneurship. Another thing you can do is you can clean off your workspace. Now, I know some of you are saying, no, Dale, you don't understand. I live great in clutter. I know exactly where. And I know those people. I know those people that have so much stuff piled on top of their desk, you're kind of scared that they're going to be buried there one day and we're going to have to dig them out and get the jaws of life to get them out from under the paper. And some people seem to thrive in that environment. I get it. But, you know, most of those people who say they thrive in that environment, they're also jerks. So if you have a pile of paper on your desk, are you the jerk? I'm not saying it makes you a jerk. I'm just saying that's anecdotal evidence I've seen, just me personally. But clean off your workspace, because clutter tends to make most people nervous and stressed. So if you spend some time cleaning it up, you know, go into the getting things done mentality, which when David Allen does this, it sometimes takes a week to get to find the bottom of desk and get rid of clutter. And it's something I do quite often, you know, is declutter, get rid of stuff. Matter of fact, weekly, I kind of go through this process, but sometimes I get a little more intense. File those papers, put those cables up where they belong, get all that junk off your desk, those stupid books that you've had off the thing that for months, get rid of them. That stuff that you, you know, those brochures that you've had for a project at house, that at the house that since you've moved from that house and that's no longer a project, but you still have the paint samples around, throw them away. Guess what? They'll make more. You know, use Evernote as a tool to get rid of, you know, clarity. And I'm not trying to adjunct to you. I'm just saying find ways to get a clean workspace. It really helps give you some mental freedom. Now, another thing you can do to really get to get happy at work, and this is going to sound a little strange to you because you're going to say, Dale, this is what I do to avoid work, but avoid social media. Now, I'm not saying social media is evil, but I'm saying a lot of us at work, we've kind of got Facebook up, and especially Facebook, and we're kind of checking Facebook as we go. And I might throw into here news media, CNN, Fox, any of the above. I might throw in here Twitter feeds and news feeds, because all that garbage coming at us all day. And if you think of what most of what you see on Facebook is negative. It's either negative or it's making fun of the politicians. It's making fun of, you know, Congress and the president and all, you know, and hey, there's plenty of stuff to be said there. I get it, but it's also negative. You know, so avoid it. If you need your fix, schedule some times to fix it. Look at it at home, but kind of back off at work. Because a lot of, and if you don't think it's negative, go through a rating and just see how much of it's negative. Give yourself some kind of way to say, okay, that's negative. That post was negative. I read that post. That's kind of negative. Just see how much of that garbage that you're taking in is negative. How much do you hear on Fox News, CNN, MSNBC, any of those news channels also that is stressful? They rarely tell you good news, right? Another thing to do is you can take it outside. You just don't know the number of people that go to work, they get inside their building, they don't leave their building all blooming day. They eat their lunch in there. They may have a company cafeteria. They stay in there. They stay around the same people and around the office gossiping stuff all day long. That would make me insane. Now, if you're caught in some kind of Air Force military installation in the middle of Alaska, northern Alaska, at a radar site, you got no choice. That's what you signed up for. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the people who have cars, you know, a few feet from them, can get in them, who have subways a few feet from them, who have outside places just to go. Even their offices, a lot of people's offices have places just to get outside. Get outside. Get out of the office a few times. Even if it takes you walking around the stupid building, get out. If you have to, walk inside just around the halls. Get out. Just give your mind a break. De-stress. Now, the last thing, building up to all of this, the last thing, and probably the most important thing, coming back from being, you know, understanding your customers and those kind of things, is for you to become the CEO. Now, when I was at Bell South, this is the game. I didn't realize what I was doing. I just thought I was playing a game. But I remember just getting sick of it, making some of the decisions. I'm going to be happy. I'm going to figure out who I serve. But you know what? I'm going to start making every decision. I'm going to start walking around the office as if I'm the CEO of Bell South. As if what happens to the customers, what happens to the employees, what happens to the workforce matters to me. Because, you know, at that time it didn't. And it was amazing. It was shocking. This would have been a great psychological experiment because I noticed one thing. I dressed better. I started putting on a suit instead of the kind of junky looking tie and everything we normally wore. I started dressing better. And I started showing up more serious. I started listening to the employee problems, even if some of them were my boss, you know, listening to them. I quit commenting in a negative manner and I started looking for solutions. I started trying to encourage people. I started thinking about, you know, what would the CEO do in this situation? I actually found myself getting in the car, driving to customers' offices. That wasn't even close to my role, to see if things were getting fixed. I mean, just, this was not anything that I would, this was just me trying to think differently. It was just me, I was trying to survive, people. I wasn't being magical, but it was amazing what happened. For instance, just wearing a suit and talking a little different, being a little positive, actually just wearing the suit, it was amazing the respect I commanded. And it wasn't in my head. It was obvious that people make fun of you, or, hey, you're on a job interview today. But it was amazing, just very quickly, how people began to respect you more. And even people commented to me that other people had great respect for me now and have changed. And people came to me and said, Dale, you've changed. You know, and they would comment on me to me in ways that really had nothing to do with anything that's really going on. It was just because they viewed me differently. I was happier. It wasn't the best job. I was still looking for a way out. Don't get me wrong. But one thing that was really weird, I worked in a very negative, low morale environment. Let's just be clear about that. The whole morale improved. It was weird. It was weird. The entire morale. People started helping each other. People started reaching out. And nobody really knew what I was doing. Nobody knew. I mean, I wasn't going around saying, hey, I'm the CEO now. This was just between me and me. But it was just bizarre, the impact one person had on a lot of other people over a period of a couple of weeks. It was bizarre. Try it. Now, again, you don't have to do anything shocking. You can just make little subtle changes. If you just do these changes, if you decide to be happy, if you decide, hey, I'm going to find out who my customers are, I'm going to go talk to them, I'm going to be the CEO. Because, you know, in the end of the day, you are the CEO of you. You are the person in charge. So I hope these tips help you, and it gives you, at least gives you something to think about. It's not all inclusive. I'd love to hear your thoughts. What do you do to find happiness and contentment at work on days that are a struggle or in time? Maybe if your work is a struggle period, I'd love to hear what you have to say about it. Just shoot me an email or put a comment. This is going to be at dalecallahan.com/66 on the blog post, the notes from this show, the show notes. But I would love to hear your thoughts on how to be happy at work.